In your Bibles, Mark chapter number 4. Mark chapter number 4. Just a few simple thoughts tonight that I wanted to make application to the Lord's table. I think we'll back up now and make application to Ben's testimony. Mark chapter 4, verse number 35 through verse 41. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, before we read your word and preach from your word, we bow to seek your power and your help, knowing that I am. Unable to properly expound it, and your people are unable to receive it outside of the work of the Holy Spirit. And so we pray that you will preach, you will speak, you will enable us to hear, and God, you would be glorified in it all. And as we come to the table tonight, help us to remember what we have in Christ. We may not have much here, but we have everything eternally in Christ Jesus. So speak to our hearts and help us tonight. Use your word to strengthen us and help us, and may we all encourage and strengthen one another. That is our prayer in Christ's name. Verse 35, and the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, his disciples, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly. And said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? And that's God's recorded word for us tonight, and all God's people said. The disciples of Christ had witnessed a lot this day. They had witnessed massive crowds come to hear Jesus preach and teach. They had listened to Jesus as he had powerfully taught the people using several parables. But the teaching of Christ that day was not over. His disciples needed to attend night school. And so Christ would give them needed instruction in the storm. And if we will think about this, the storms of life are instructive. The storms of life are helpful. They focus our attention and they get our mind on what is truly important, and Jesus is not trying to destroy us. He's trying to teach us. Trying to speak to our hearts. So I want to give you three things tonight. I want to talk about the calm contained in Christ, the calm concealed in the disciples, and then the calm created by the words of Jesus. Let's begin by looking at the calm contained. There is no doubt here that while the storm raged against this boat in the midst of the Sea of Galilee, there was one on that ship, only one, but there was one who had calm within his soul. If you're looking for calm in the storm, look to Jesus. Jesus is in the hinder part of the ship. And what's he doing? He's fast asleep on a pillow. How can Jesus sleep during this particular storm? And the answer, I think, is that Jesus is sleeping in the hinder part of the ship on a pillow because he has perfect confidence in his Father that all is well. He's not looking at the waves. He's not measuring the wind. His confidence is in his Father, who is sovereign over waves and sovereign over winds and sovereign over boats and sovereign over disciples and sovereign over him. Understand this tonight. We have a God that is absolutely sovereign and all-powerful over our lives. Matter of fact, I don't see here where Jesus has even given this storm a second thought. He is as much at ease in this storm as he would be on a sunny day. Somebody help me. There's no difference in what Christ is doing here if the day was sunny and bright or if it was a storm raging sea. His mind and his heart are free from every kind of care because in the midst of the storm, he has on purpose, deliberately laid himself down and went to sleep. He didn't fall asleep. He went to sleep. He wasn't overtaken by exhaustion. He purposely laid down and went to sleep, not minding the coming storm. He went to the hinder part of the ship. He took a pillow. He put it under his head. And with fixed intent, he went to sleep. Now, Jesus is God. He knows a storm is brewing. Matter of fact, I would say this, he knows his Father has prepared the storm. And yet, he goes to sleep. It was his own act, his own deed, to go to sleep in the storm. And I thought about this. He had nothing for which to keep him awake for. So pure and perfect was his confidence in the greatness of his Father. Listen, well, that's where we need to be. Our God is in absolute control. He holds all things in the palm of His hands. He speaks a word and it is so. May we sleep in Him. May we rest in Him. Jesus had no question about His Father's love for Him as His own Son. In this boat, he knew that his Father was keeping watch over him. And if he knows his Father is awake and watching over him, what better thing could he do than simply go to sleep? Somebody help me. Why are you up watching when the Father's watching? Somebody help me. Isn't it silly to hire a watchman to watch your house and then you stay awake watching your house? If our Father who is omniscient and omnipotent over all things, is watching over us. Why are we awake watching over ourselves? Somebody help me. He understands his Father loves him. He understands his Father is watching over him. He understands that his Father is keeping him. And so he simply goes to sleep. The Lord not only had confidence in his Father for his own safety, but he also had confidence in his Father for those whom he cared about and who were dear to him. If that ship had a wreck that night, what would have become of Peter? If that ship goes down that night, what happens to the disciple whom Jesus loved? You see, our Lord regarded with intense affection those whom he had chosen and called and who had been with him through his temptation, yet he was quite content to leave all of his disciples in the care of his Father and go to sleep. You know, sometimes we say, well, I can trust God for me, but I can't trust God for my family. I can't trust God for those I love. Jesus did. Jesus said, Lord, I'm in your hands. I'm putting my disciples in your hands, and I'm going to sleep. Somebody help me. Well, what about the others on the sea that night? Do you forget that there were also with him other little ships? And if the ship in which Jesus is on is being tossed to and fro, what do you think those little ships were doing? They were in more jeopardy than the ship that Jesus was in. And yet, he left them to the Lord's care as well. The other ships were a fleet under the Lord's convoy, and his great heart went out to all of them. And so he puts himself, he puts his disciple, he puts those in the other ships in the care of his Father. And he goes to sleep. You know why? Because he fully trusts in the Father's ability to take care of the situation. Having left everything with his Father, our Lord did the very wisest thing that he could do. He did what the hour demanded. He went to sleep. Wasn't that the wisest thing he could do? If he truly trusts the Father for himself, for his disciples, and for the others on the sea that night, wouldn't the wisest thing to be, if you truly trust the Father, just go to sleep? That was the best thing Jesus could do, and it is the best thing that we can do as well. Knowing what the time to sleep has come, the Lord sleeps, and he does well in sleeping. I think he was sleeping well. Maybe in a little drool on the pillow. You know, sometimes I thought there are times in my life where I have been fretting and worrying when I should have been glorifying God. I've been up biting my fingernails, trying to figure things out, trying to make plans, trying to make things happen when I really should have just gone to sleep. And to glorify God by sleeping is to not worry about the situation and imitate the Savior and simply lay down and go to sleep. Somebody help me. Do you know who wasn't sleeping while Jesus was sleeping that night? The Father. You know he never sleeps. He never slumbers. He's never off the job. He's always watching and taking care of us. Go ahead and go to sleep. He's able. And having this confidence in the greatness of his Father, Jesus goes to the stern of the ship, selects a pillow, deliberately lies down upon it, and goes to sleep. And even though the ship is filling with water and is rolling, he sleeps on. Because there is calm in his soul. There's calm in his soul. There is raging storms all around, but in his soul, there is perfect calmness in his confidence in his Father. Amen? Number two. Not only do we see in Christ the calm that is contained in Him, but secondly, we see the calm concealed. Because while there was calm in the heart of Christ, there certainly was not calm in the heart of His disciples. We are told here that His disciples have given way to fear. They were afraid that the ship would sink. It was filling with water quickly, and they were afraid it would sink and they would all perish. According to Jesus here, it's not me making an assumption. It's not me making a conclusion. It's the words of Jesus. Apparently, according to Jesus, their fear was a result of their lack of faith. You see that? He says, "Why are you so fearful? Why are you so fearful? Why do you have no faith?" That's a hard one for us to take. When we fear, it is evidence of our lack of faith. Why is Jesus calm and the disciples full of fear? Because Jesus is trusting in Jesus, and the disciples are in the Father, and the disciples are not. Now think about this. These are the closest men to Christ. They had seen Him multiply loaves and fish and feed over 5,000 people. They had seen Him cast out devils. They had seen Him heal all manner of sickness, yet they could not trust Him to still a storm. Can I ask you a question? How good has God been to you? How many times has God protected you, provided for you, saved you, healed you, strengthened you, took care of you, and yet the next storm that comes, where is our faith? So the disciples finally get to the point that they go to Jesus and they awaken Him from His sleep. And they ask Him a question. And it's only a question. It's a question that only fear and faithlessness would ask. Can you imagine? Just looking at it on paper here, can you imagine these disciples accusing God of not caring if they would perish? That's the accusation, right? Do you not care that we perish? Are they really going to accuse Jesus of not loving them? Has He not proven His love for them? Has He not proven His care for them? Has He not proven that He has power to deliver them from all situations? Do they really think that God doesn't love them? That Christ doesn't care about them? That Christ has no power to deliver them? Do they really care about that? What a crazy question to ask. Then I think of how many times I have asked the same question. Have we not been guilty of this foolishness as well? Things happen and we doubt the wisdom or the love of the Lord. How can God love me and allow that to happen? Or we might not quite say that the Lord was mistaken and maybe was wrong in what He did, but we'll say this: well, I guess God moves in mysterious ways. It's just a religious way to say, I think God messed that one up. We might not complain of God's unkindness to us, but we whisper how we can't really reconcile our suffering with His love for us. And what we do is we're like the disciples. We lay blame on Him when it is in reality, it's our fear and our lack of faith that is to blame. It's us, not Him. It's my lack of faith, not His lack of ability. It's my fear, not His lack of love. It's my lack of faith, not His lack of concern. It's me. Listen to me. That ship ain't going down. I don't care how much it rains. I don't care how much water gets in that boat. If that boat was filled with water, it ain't going down. You know why? Because the Savior of the world is in that boat. And He hasn't done the work of saving humanity yet. That boat ain't going down. These disciples had Jesus on board. And there's no need to fear. And there's no reason to have lack of faith when Christ is on board. He's on board, and if he's sleeping well, no matter what it appears to be, no matter what it appears to be taking place, all is well if Jesus is on board. What we ought to do, folks, instead of worrying and fretting and trying to figure things out and staying up all night and making a mess of our stomach and having ulcers and all these things, let's just crawl up to next to Jesus and go to sleep confident that the hand of the Father is going to keep us safe in the storm. There is calm on board of the ship in Christ, but the waves and the wind have concealed it from His disciples. And I ask myself this question this afternoon: how many times has the situation concealed the calmness that is in Christ from me? They just don't see the confidence of Jesus. Instead, they accuse Him of being careless. Number three. Not only do we see here the calm contained in Christ and the calm concealed by the storms from the disciples, but the calm that is created by the Word of Christ. It is amazing that Jesus has so much power. All He has to do is speak. And it's done. If God speaks, the storm subsides into a calm and the waves of the sea become perfectly still at the Word of Christ. And you understand it only takes our Lord to speak into our heart, or the heart of any one of us, and immediately there is the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. When Jesus spoke, the storm didn't die down slowly to a calm. When Jesus spoke, it happened immediately. When Jesus said, "Stop," when Jesus said, "Be still," in an instant, the winds ceased and the waves were calm. Jesus arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Be peace, be still." And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. All Jesus had to do was speak and it was all quiet. Now, if we're putting fear and faith together by what Jesus said, we can't help but conclude from what Jesus says to His disciples as well that faith and calm go together. If we believe in the power, if we trust in the goodness of God, we can have rest. If we will cast ourselves on God, if we will surrender absolutely to His will, we can have mercy, joy, and peace. He spoke and created calm. Do you know God creates everything that is? And here He creates calm in chaos. He spoke and peace prevailed. And listen to me, are you listening? When Jesus spoke, there's not a wave nor a wind that dared to defy His word. You don't see the wind and the waves rebelling and the wind blowing a little bit and the waves lapping a little bit. No, I'm telling you, there's perfect calm and there's perfect peace. And the wind and the waves are fearful to defy the awesome power of an almighty God. You understand the only source of calm over our storms is Christ. Amen? And what we're going to do tonight, we are going to celebrate the Lord's table. And what we're going to do is celebrate the calm that Jesus Christ has created into our sin-stormed hearts. Say amen. I was a chaotic mess. I had sin raging in my soul. There was no peace. There was raging. There was sin. And Jesus created peace in my soul. And that's why we take the bread, and that's why we take the juice tonight. It is Jesus that has calmed the storms of my soul. His body broken for me. His blood spilt for me. The peace that I have in my soul. The reconciliation I have with God the Father. The hope that I have of eternity in heaven is because of Christ. And not just Christ. Christ on the cross. Let's take some inventory tonight, folks. Every sin that you have ever committed is forgiven. Every sin that you will ever commit in the future is already forgiven. The blood of Jesus Christ, the Son, has cleansed us from all sin. The power of sin within us is broken. It does not have dominion over us anymore, for we are not under the law, but we are under grace. Not only has God forgiven me of all of my sin, but sin's power has been broken in my life. I'm no longer in bondage to sin. I'm no longer tied and under sin's dominion. Satan, which is our foe, is a defeated enemy. The world is overcome by our Lord Jesus, and death is abolished by Him who has conquered death by raising on the third day. All providence works for our good. Do you get that? Christ died to forgive you of all of your sins. He has broken the power of sin in your life. He has defeated the enemy, Satan. He has overcome the world. He has overcome death by raising on the third day. And everything that comes into our life, He has promised to work that for our good. Eternity has no threat for us. Eternity has no fear for us, because all eternity does is bring us into immortality and God's glory. Nothing can harm us. Somebody said, we're not invincible. We are invincible to God's done with us. The Lord is our shield, and He is our great reward. Therefore, what then should we fear? If God is with us, who can be against us? What is there to fear? And so we take the symbols of His body and His blood, because like Jesus on that boat, our confidence is in Him. Our trust is in Him. We rest in Him for our salvation. He is our peace. He is our rest. He is our calm. He is our Savior. He is our Lord. And tonight, I want you to think about this in a symbolic sense. As we take of the glory of His body and His blood at the Lord's table, we are actually, in a symbolic way, we are imitating Christ. We are taking a pillow and we're lying down and we are on purpose going to sleep because we fully trust in Jesus to take care of us in every storm, even the storm of death. And I've got good news for you. He has done it. He does do it. And He will do it. Amen. Grab a pillow. Let's lay down and go to sleep. Our trust is in a God who has it under control. Amen.